This is Barbara Leonard from Inner Garden. We used to have a chapel show on here, and I hope some of you are still watching, hearing us on time to time. But we have a really exciting night for you. We have Deborah and Paul Rees, British psychic medium from Wales, and they're going to come to United States and Canada on a tour this summer. So we'd like to say hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, good. Barbara. It's good to speak to you again, Lap.
Yes, it was. It's too bad they didn't hear our preview before we came on the air, because we were having quite a time. I've got quite an audience here in my studio just listening to what's going on, and we're a bunch of jokers, so we ought to have a good time. We've got an audience out there in BBS Radio, and we just like you to keep listening. You were listening to previous program. Just listen, because this is going to be a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit about what's going on this summer with you two guys.
Well, we have a fairly busy summer ahead of us there, Barbara, that's for sure, with the trip out to yourselves in Canada, which we are so looking forward to. It's a very exciting time for us coming out there and spreading our wings, bringing our teachings out there to yourselves. It's the first time for us, and we've worked hard with you, and you've done so much work for us getting ourselves out there. What we plan to do is really introduce our very simple way of teaching. Again, our way of teaching is something that we've sort of customized and really worked hard to promote in the UK this year and last year and the year before. We've really been pushing ourselves out here for the last maybe 5 or 6 years, myself and Deb teaching as a couple. In the workshop together. Our belief is really everybody carries an awareness. It's your birthright to use this, and this is how we teach it. We've been criticized for it, that's for sure. But also we've been applauded for it, because we do like to promote a way of teaching where you can go into the workshop environment with us for a session or for a day and then leave and really work with that development and really promote your development with yourself also.
Yeah, our workshops and courses are a lot of practical stuff. We believe in doing it. So, you know, there's a lot of theory, and that's lovely, and we need that as well. But we like to get the students in, get them working, get them leaving with a sense of achievement. I mean, even if it's a small achievement, it's like, you know, if they've linked to the spirit world, they've given off a message, however brief that may be, they still go away knowing that they have an ability, have an awareness that they can work with. And that's really, in our beginners workshop, that's where we want to, that's what we aim for then, is to people to go away and get excited, get on the hook. Fortunately with the spirit world, once you get on that hook, you really can't get off it.
That's true.
Yeah, it doesn't matter it doesn't matter what happens in your life there. You say, right, that's it.
Oh, really? Okay, well, we're just talking away. That's fine. Can you get us on, okay? Yeah, sure. Catherine, are you there?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Catherine, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Do you want to talk to our young people from Wales here?
You bet I do.
Hi, Catherine. How are you doing there?
I'm doing very good, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. Did you want to ask them something in particular?
I do. My husband crossed over about a year and a half ago, and I feel him around very often, and I feel like I'm getting messages from him, and I'm just wondering if what you pick up on it.
Okay. Firstly then, Catherine, let's just talk about yourself and your own awareness before we go into anything else, because people often ask myself and Deb there when they have loved ones that have passed over into spirit, and they often ask, well, you know, do you get anything, do you feel anything from my husband, from my wife, from my mum, from my dad, wherever it may be there in spirit? And I always say to them, well, before you go looking for evidence yourself from a medium, I always say, what about the evidence that you get on a day-to-day basis? because you have very much a strong ability yourself to link with your partner in spirit, with your husband in spirit, and just work on your everyday thoughts. And I like to put it this way: when you're going about your day, doing your own thing, let's say minding your own business, and you do get then out of nowhere a thought of your husband in spirit, a thought you haven't asked for, a thought you haven't sent out to receive. But when you do get a thought, there is very much your link with your husband in spirit. That thought might give you a feel of him almost saying to yourself, good morning, how are you today? And it's a feel that you might get that'll create that thought. You can always send a thought back then and say, good morning. Deb was giving me a hand signal as if she wanted to come in there. I do apologize. So yes, because we'd have a 2-week conversation with Deb, myself, and yourself also. So when you get that thought of your husband in spirit, and you send that thought back, the process is very, very simple. Always remember that. It's not difficult for you to link with spirit. Was this your question there, Catherine?
Thank you so much for the confirmation on that, because it happens all the time. And I often find myself asking him, I know you've got better things to be doing these days.
your husband there, Catherine, he feels that he was a very charismatic person.
Yeah.
He would have been good fun to be around, but I feel also that that what we are doing here, linking the spirit, he was very sort of almost, I don't know how to explain, very logic in the way he would think there. Can you understand that about your husband?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, because he does give that kind of feel that he was a very logic person, and that if he was to do this, if he was here on the earth plane and linking the spirit, then he would almost have to read in a book for him to believe that he could do that. Then he was that type, very straight talking, but very much a salt of the earth kind of feel to the gentleman.
Also, he gives me a feeling there, Catherine, to say to you that it's okay for you to have his time at the moment as well, because there's a feeling there with yourself that you talk to him in your mind a lot, he says, but then you're worried that you're disturbing him, but you still need him, and he realizes that. He also gives me the feeling as well, love to say to you, I'm not sure whether you got to say goodbye properly. Does that make sense?
Yes. He said goodbye to everyone but me, yes.
Yeah, because the feeling there is, it's kind of, I feel this was on purpose by him for yourself. I get quite emotional with him, but he gives me a feeling to say to you that he didn't want to say goodbye to you, love, because it's not goodbye. There's a feeling of that. I also feel he's too young to pass. Does that make sense to you?
Say that again, please.
Sorry, it's my accent. He gives me a feeling to say to you he was too young to go, too young to
pass.
I feel there was a lot of life left in him yet as well. I also feel that whatever was wrong there with his passing, where it came on very quickly.
Yes.
Can you understand that?
That's true. That's very true, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and I feel there that from the time this came on to the time he passes, we don't have a lot of time. And I just feel the unfairness of it all. Is there a John anywhere there, Catherine, as well?
A John?
No. Okay, because he just mentions the name John to me, so I don't know whether it's a friend on the earth plane for him. But I just feel that the John would still be here, though.
I don't know who that would be.
Okay.
Can you understand that also, Catherine, that your awareness has really opened up since your husband had passed there? Yeah, your all spirituality as a person, your awareness, your ability to link there has really opened up, because you're asking for it all the time. Can you understand that? Because he gives a feeling that you're asking and asking for it, but also yourself, you're an analyst yourself also, where you have to see and feel things so many times before you believe it has actually happened to yourself. You've had your link from spirit there. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because he's given a feeling that like himself, you prefer to read things in books so you can believe that it is happening for yourself. It has to feel logical for you, your link with spirit then. And he's saying that go with it from the heart. You can feel him around. He is there around you. And do believe the things that get through the day from him are very much there to help you out through the day there. Can you understand that, Catherine?
Yes, thank you. Yes, yes.
Can I jump in here a little bit? Catherine, where are you from, darling?
I'm in Oregon, Southern Oregon.
In Oregon. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can get up to British Columbia here when we have them over. It would be nice if you could get to see them. They're going to be over in August.
Right. Definitely will try to arrange that.
Yeah, so just go to our internet or their internet and website, and we'll give you the information on that.
Wonderful. Oh, my God, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, and God bless you, sweetheart. You take
care.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Sean, is you online? Sherry?
Sharon.
Sharon, okay.
Yes.
Hi, dear. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon. Hi.
Hi there.
Did you have a question for the couple from Wales?
I understand they're doing messages online.
Well, for quick ones, yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about their trip as well and about what they're teaching. They're teaching people to be able to be aware. They have a program that's called Keeping It Simple. And basically what it is so same type of theory that I have, is that we all have the ability to do this. Sometimes we have to get somebody else when it's personally involved, but we have the ability to be able to tune in. So they're just trying to teach everybody to do that. But part of it is the phenomena of being able to get something online. So if you want to ask them something, just go ahead.
Okay. I guess one of the things I wonder is what do you do when things aren't coming through for you when you're dealing with people?
Okay, can you just say that again, please?
I'm just wondering if you are working with someone doing a private reading and things aren't flowing for you, what kind of techniques do you use to maybe open the path?
Okay, now... What she's asking, let me just explain the question to Debs there also, because it's a very difficult line, or very poor of a line we have there with you, Sharon. So what Sharon is asking is when she does, do you do one-to-one readings yourself there, Sharon?
I'm beginning to. I sit in a circle and I've done readings a couple of times in our church, but I haven't done many.
Okay. Now then, it's strange that there's a lot of things to consider when you're doing a one-to-one reading and when it stops flowing for yourself. That's for sure. The biggest thing for anybody when they're reading is their own trust, and their own trust with their own abilities. Now it's strange because we all doubt ourselves. It doesn't matter whether you've been a medium for 2 days or for 200 years. We all doubt our own abilities on a day-to-day basis, and that's not a bad thing, because it keeps pushing you forward to want to always improve your mediumship, improve your awareness. So remember, that will always be the case. You'll always hit what you might find is difficult spots. But what you need to remember also there, Sharon, that your development is also whilst you are working. Now, when you get to a difficult spot within your reading, it can be a multiple of things. It can be that you have a very difficult recipient that you're sitting with. When that is the case, then experience will sort of help you through that. Or it can be that you've had a no off the recipient within the reading, which sort of sets you back, and then instantly you start doubting your ability, doubting the trust. Because you will always get the information from spirit. You will always have it in a very simple and easy format for you to use. It's always ourselves that makes it difficult, and nobody else.
I think as well, Paul, when you said about experience, for me, when I first started, you would get the blanks, you would get the down points where the energy would just drop. And the feeling is there that through experience, and I feel it's a lot to do with that you would learn how to pick that back up and recognize why it's there. And I feel there that the more you do, Sharon, the more that you'll find that those blank spots get smaller and smaller until really they're not there anymore. So that's what happens because it's more about experience with that, because as Paul says, they will always be imparting information into your mind. It's just us learning then how to keep the flow going. That's all. It doesn't mean they've disappeared.
I always find there, Sharon, that what I use then when I hit blank spots in a read, I always go back into the read, back into the segment of information that you just had. Because often when you're reading, especially in the early days, you'll find that you'll go for the most profound feelings that you get and miss then the information that can behind those feelings. So you'll find that you'll give the biggest or the strongest emotion, feeling or thought that you have to your recipient, and find that you will not, you'll dismiss then the smaller information that comes behind that. And often, let's say you might give, for example, you might say, okay, I have your dad in spirit and his name was David. And then the recipient will think, yes, I can take that. You've given that, and then you might move on and not then go further into the information, into the dad, into the David there. And what you'll find is once you're reading and starts going, I don't know if you use this phrase out there, pear-shaped, I don't know if they use that in America, but we use the word pear-shaped. Once it starts going that way, you'll find that what spirit are telling you is go back into your reading, go back into where you left off. That's where you need to pick it back up. And I always do that. And don't be afraid to do that in your one-to-one reading. Don't be afraid to stop it. And think, okay, I'm going to go back into the last 2 or 3 minutes worth of evidence that I've given, because that's where I need to pick it back up there. Does that help at all, Sharon?
Very much so. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Do keep working with it there, Sharon. Don't be put off by the no's. When you get the no's in your one-to-one readings off your recipient, always remember, because we do a workshop on this, that actually a no is healthy. Work with it. Don't let the no's put you off.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Just
Thank
give
you
what
much.
You get, Sharon. Just give whatever comes through true to you, and just give that, and don't add to it, and don't take away from it.
Yeah.
And it's not arrogant to say, I won't withdraw it. I'm working with spirit if that's what they give me. I'm sorry if you don't understand it. This is what I'm getting. Maybe it'll check out later. Don't be concerned about that.
Yeah,
and I've been reading since 1950. And I will tell you, I still get that problem. Sometimes I'll get somebody I can't get a reading on them, and I just tell them maybe they should have another reader.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't worry about it. It happens to the best of us.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Darren, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. You're getting calls after calls. You're hardly getting time to talk here. But this is good because we're getting a little bit of insight into the way that you believe things happen. And I think it's the same as what we do. And we might even have a few people here that might want to ask a question. So we'll just let you go ahead on. Now, you're going into Lilydale in New York first, aren't you?
Yes.
We're excited about that.
Yeah. And what we're doing there in Lilydale is that, fortunately, we've been lucky where we've got, 3 workshops there. We are doing a beginners, which we are calling, establishing the 4 C's.
The 4 C's are, all the clairs, clairsentient, clairaudient, and, clairvoyance, and confidence.
Which is what you told Sharon, right?
Yes.
Confidence.
Yeah. That's it, yeah, because you could be the best medium in the world in private, you know, but once you if you have the confidence taken from that, And then everything after falls to bits, really. So it's strange. I always think, Barbara, that the spirit world, you know, pick the mediums that are sensitive, because we're called sensitives, or were, very sensitive people, and yet we have to have the confidence. So it's like a double-edged sword always, I felt, especially with myself as well, you know, shyness there. But then something makes us get up and do it, though.
Exactly. You know, the other thing I think that I tell all the students that I work with here, and is they look at somebody else working, like maybe watch you guys work, and they say, oh, my goodness, I could never be that good. Well, the truth is they're the very best at what they do. You're the very best at what you do. And yeah. They need to have confidence in that. We're all made differently, and so whatever way we're going to work differently, but we're still getting it off on spirit. So let's not concern about whether we're as good as somebody else or not. Just give what they're given.
Yeah.
Paul always says there that if you start comparing yourself to other workers, you're allowing the ego then to get in, and it can grow from there, because then you start saying, well, I'm better than this one and smaller than this one and not as good as that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you find this big monster of an ego has come up, and then you have to fight to get them back down.
And you're also then in competition with your own people that could be helping you.
Exactly. There's always going to be somebody better than you. There's always going to be somebody, you know, more proficient at what they do. But that, you know, it's all a matter of perspective, actually, anyway, and what people perceive. So it's probably a waste of time to bother.
Exactly. You know, it's a waste of energy, and it's a waste of good spirit energy coming through to work with you for to have that kind of conflict going on in the human realm here.
Yeah.
I also feel as well that, you know, the ego there, Barbara, you know, is one of the killers, really, you know, within this movement, within this way of living. It's just kind of like, if you've got an ego, then you know, might as well pack it in, because we have to. I mean, obviously everybody has to have an ego to some extent. But when you start running off that and living off that, I feel the spirit world very much pull you back in as well.
I think so. Somehow or other, you know, you're going to, I don't know whether you do it to yourself, but you're going to trip over your own laces somewhere, you know, really.
Yeah, very true. I mean, going back to the Lilydale workshops there,
mm-hmm.
we're doing the beginners, then we're doing the intermediate then, which is what we call a time to start. And, of course, then we're doing the advanced, which is communication in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
We do like doing the beginners, intermediate, and advanced courses, but what we find is that we like to use our advanced exercises and customize them to take them into the beginners workshops.
Exactly.
And why we do this is because we feel that you should instill the confidence in the student right from the very beginning that there's no such thing as. We do struggle, and it's almost a contradiction, because we are doing beginners, intermediates, and advanced in Lilydale. But we do like to instill in the student from the very beginning that you can do what those mediums on Sky Television can do yourself. You know, you can do that. You have the ability. It's all about personality and confidence there, and that's why we tend to take advanced exercises into beginners workshops, and just to customize it for the day and for those abilities, obviously.
It's just amazing, isn't it, with the students and the new students that have never been submitted to it before, that they come out with some profound things, and you think, my goodness, I've been working for X amount of years, and, you know, I'm not coming out with profound stuff like they're coming out with sometimes.
Yeah
isn't
and,
it? That's the fact.
It really brings you back down to an earthy look at yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we found that, I mean, development is an individual development has changed and has really come on these last, I mean, obviously myself and Deb, we've been working full time in this for maybe about 6 years there, but we found the last few years for ourselves, we've really, really seen the development move really fast now. There are so many young mediums coming up and producing fabulous, fabulous mediumship. It just has to be really nurtured with these individuals for it to keep a kind of customary feel in there, but bring in the year 2009 into the whole movement then, because that's what's missing. And for the movement to understand that we no longer need to sit for maybe 20 years before we can actually get out there and demonstrate. It can be done a lot sooner than that now, you know, and I think that the movement, especially here in the UK, has been struggling with that over the last 10 years to allow individuals to start working very much earlier in their development, in the public. And this is something myself and Deb really do specialise in and concentrate on.
I also feel it's because, you know, there hasn't really, I don't know what it's like there, Barbara, but in the UK, there's not really any aftercare for the mediums. You know, they go on courses, they go on workshops, and then they're left to their own devices, you know.
That's a big problem.
It is, because there's nobody there taking everybody under their wing and saying, okay, this is where you are, this, you know, having discussions about their ongoing development, where they feel they are, the level that they're at. There's none of that. So then everybody's left to their own devices to find when they feel they're ready to go work publicly. Now, that can be a problem because some people feel they're ready to work publicly when actually they're, you know, they're not quite ready. But if there's nobody saying to these people, you know, okay, give it another year, let's do this, let's do that, you know, and get them ready, then what does everybody expect?
And this is something that myself and Deb are really sort of working hard at here. Yeah. And this is what we're going to be bringing out to Canada and also Lilydale and as far, because we're also working on a trip to Australia now there also, where we will be taking this aftercare out also, because after the workshops then they can come back onto the website, which will hopefully be finished in a few weeks, where they can come on, because there's always a million questions.
Oh, definitely.
Within your development, and it's hard to go somewhere where you can get positive, true answers that keep your development moving forward all the time on a daily basis almost.
See, I think this is where you've got an advantage with BBS Radio, because you could, if you went on a program there, after you do something, say here, you do something in Australia, these people can link with you on BBS and talk to you about things, and it will help other people out there too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all those who are listening, please, please don't be put off by the mediums you see working on the television programs, on the networks there. Know that you have an ability, you have an awareness. It's your birthright to practice your awareness every single day. Don't feel that that those you see working on the networks are special or individual. Yes, they've got themselves out there and they are doing a good cause, and their quality of mediumship is fabulous. But that does not mean that you can't do this yourself. Please learn to use your awareness. Learn to use your everyday thoughts that you get from spirit. That's what's important. Simplify how you get it. The mechanics of your mediumship, of your awareness, are very simple and easy to use. What do you feel on that there, Barbara?
Well, that's definitely for sure, because what happens there is, we're getting a bit of a feedback here, but that's all right. What we find is that we'll get a mediumship, and people will find the mediumship works for them on a daily basis. We don't have to worry about it. Right?
Yeah.
And so if we use that every day and just use it in everyday workaday, not every person who's going to develop awareness is going to be working down at the nearest theater working and doing demonstrations, right?
Yeah.
So they want to use it for what goes on day to day. I mean, people that you bring out of your audience, you told me that you have people you bring out of your audience that are skeptics, healthy skeptics, and they come on and they will pick somebody, or you will pick somebody in the audience, and you'll say, well, tell me about that person, and they can come up with some really good information, and yet they haven't known them at all.
That's right. I mean, what we do is something that we've put together over the last,
not so long, actually.
No, it's been the last sort of 6 months, really. when we do our shows, whether it's demonstrating or in church, or whether it's something we do in theatre, we pull the most skeptic of person out from the audience.
Not cynical, skeptic.
Skeptic, yes. And what we do is, within the exercise, it doesn't allow them to bring their own thoughts, only to use their instant thoughts that they get from spirit. And this is what people miss on a day-to-day basis in their lives. They don't allow themselves to trust the thoughts that they get from those that have passed. And this exercise allows us, in a very short space of time, sometimes just 2 or 3 minutes, that's all we allow. And that person that's been brought up there from the audience very much will make a link with someone in the audience, with someone from spirit, and will bring through something very profound that can be taken, that cannot then question that they don't have that contact from spirit with them. And yes, it's guided and influenced by myself and Deb in the exercise, but the thoughts come from the person that's chosen from the audience to work. And it really, really does work well. And it does prove that everybody has the ability.
But why wouldn't they then, Paul, you see? Because although we are linking to the spirit world, we're also spirit here. All our mechanics, I mean, our personalities, like you say, are different. That's what makes, you know, the backgrounds of people and their personalities, that's what makes it kind of difficult whether you're going to, you know, you are going to go down the theatre down the road and work or not.
Yeah.
It's down really a lot to do with your thought patterns and the way you think and your personality, rather than the actual gift you have from God to communicate telepathically, in a way, to the other side. Because if they're spirit, well, let's remember that we're spirit and we're all the same in those mechanics. The science, which you would very know about it, Barbara, are all the same, I'm sure.
Exactly. The thing is that there is a scientific reason to why we're able to do this. We're built to do it.
Yeah.
And we had better abilities to do that before we had communications verbally, before we had language. We were able to do more telepathy. And now we're not as apt at it because we can quickly talk and explain something, at least we think we can.
Yeah.
You know? And but if I thought the color blue, you'd pick up exactly what color blue. But if I say the color blue, it could be any spectrum from one degree to the other. I have one of my people here, one of our audience, named Catherine as well, and she'd like to ask you a question. Do you want to hold for a sec?
Hi, Paul and Deb. I have my question to you is, a lot of people here, including some of us here, call ourselves psychic mediums. Now, could you tell us, I know there is a big difference, especially in the UK, of that classification. Can you be one without the other?
That's very strange.
No, do you know?
I
am so passionate on this. Yeah, I mean.
And we were just talking about it before we come on, so
go for it, girl.
I'll start there, Deb, because myself and Deb, we carry a similar view there. That's for sure. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar. I struggle, firstly, with the word psychic. You've got to be getting it from somewhere. Now, I know we've just spent a weekend in the Arthur Findlay College there, and we've had many discussions on it there in the Arthur Findlay College, because obviously not everybody agrees then, I suppose. Now, the word psychic has this stigma behind it, and I'm not quite sure why. I think it's something from a very Jurassic long time ago. Now, psychic, mediumistic, or mediumship, psychic, what the difference? Okay, the only way I can separate it, and I believe that psychic mediumship comes from the same place. You're working through God. Now, your mediumship, you're giving evidence of that person from spirit. Psychic, you're giving guidance for the recipient that you're working with. But it's all still coming from the same place.
Hallelujah.
That's my view on it. Now, I only use the word psychic and mediumship purely to give a reference on two different types of information or evidence that is given from spirit. It's able to separate the both. So I am giving guidance to my recipient, so I am working psychically. I am giving evidence of that contact from spirit. I am working mediumistically. But they both come from the same place.
And God gave it to Aunt Susie, who gave it to you, and God gave it to your spirit guide, who's giving you the guidance. It's all coming from God, so we don't care what you call it.
Yeah, exactly. This is it, because if we are working with someone's dad, mom, whoever they may have in spirit, whilst we are working, we say, okay, your mom is telling me that this is what she was like, this is how she passed, but by the way, you need to do this in your life. So all of a sudden, have I stopped making that link with her mom just because I am saying, well, in your life, you need to alter this, and this is where you are, and this is what you need to do. So suddenly, as her mom then switched the switch off and says, oh, I'm not working with Paul because he's telling my daughter that she needs to be correct in her life in this way. I think not. I think her mom would want to step in and say, yes, tell my daughter what she needs to be doing. Do you agree, Deb?
I do agree. But also, let's say that we're sat there. It's all the same energy. It's all coming from the same place. But say I'm giving you a psychic reading then, Paul, and I haven't linked to anybody in the spirit world. I probably have. What it is it, say I don't have your dad in the spirit world with me, so I'm just saying to you, I'm feeling like you need this, this, and this. Does it really matter whether, because if you are linking to the spirit world, you are doing soul to soul. But if I'm linking with you here, I'm still doing soul to soul.
Yes, yes.
So just because we're incarnate and there's a body there doesn't mean to say that I am still not using exactly the same principle I would be using, and it actually all comes from God as well.
Yes.
Exactly.
What do you think, Barbara?
That's what I teach here, and I sometimes get a little bit of problem because I will get this type of thing. I, in fact, one night did a tremendous demonstration, apparently, from what they said. And a lady went into a circle the next day and said to the people, oh, you should have seen Barbara Leonard last night. She'd never seen me work before. And she blah, 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 you know, which they do. And has nothing to do with me. It has to do with spirit. But still, you know, she was excited. And the woman who was the head of the circle said, yes, but she's just a psychic.
Oh.
So I said to myself, well, I, you know, that's limitations she's putting on herself. I'm sorry what's there. Yeah. But I could have come back and said, well, I wonder if maybe being psychic isn't one step higher than mediumship because I don't have to have Aunt Susie in between.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, very good.
But you know what? That would offend a lot of people. I think whatever God gives you the ability, however God gives you the ability to work with that energy that is there to help us, we should be using it for the highest and best. If we use it improperly, then it doesn't matter whether we're a medium or we're a psychic. If we're using it improperly and we're using it for the wrong reasons, it has no guidance on who's using it. It just, we have the ability to use it. Doesn't mean I'm good or bad.
Yeah.
So there's the other thing. Sometimes I think what we have to clarify is because you're a good psychic doesn't mean you're a good person.
Oh, yes, that's definitely true.
So, you know, it has to do with your character, with your ethics, with your, the whole thing. It's all spiritual. And, you know, just because you don't use it properly doesn't mean you don't have the ability to do it, which we have a lot of that. Going on in a certain culture where the people will, you know, use that to kind of manipulate people to, you know, spend their money, buy the black candles, buy something else, you know, and they misuse it, but God doesn't come down thunderbolt them, you know.
No.
It has nothing to do with how good you are, how bad you are, because you're a good psychic, but how you live your life and how you use it, that means something.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I just say what I'm thinking about it? You know, if people say, oh, you've got to have the gift, you know. And I just feel, why would God limit that gift? The spirit world wants to be recognized. They want us here when we're incarnate to know them, to know that they're there and they work really hard. So why would God just say, okay, we really want the people on earth to know there's a spirit world, to know that we're life eternal, that's why Jesus is here, whatever. Why would he do that and then only give that gift to a few? It doesn't make sense.
Well, I think the gift is gift of life. We've been given a gift of life, and you know, some people play a piano better than play a guitar, and other people would play really well on a guitar. So everybody's going to have their abilities, their talents, whatever. And whatever, sometimes you're going to be, you know, we were just watching a tape, some tapes for lack of anything better to do. Some of my old tapes from the TV program I was on in 1980,
81. I can't wait to see
it. Kind of giggling how young I was, you know, and how slim I was too, and how gorgeous I was. And you say, I say was, right? But anyway, we were having a great time with it. And, you know, the thing is that the whole thing there is that you just give what comes through you. It doesn't matter if you're doing it on television, whatever you're doing. You know, you just give the best of what God gave you. And I was reading flowers. Now, people say, how can you read flowers? Well, it's a focus point.
Yeah.
Right? Focus on the flower. And I'm tuning in to you. I can be looking at my fingernail and do that. You know, look at my fingernail and think about Deb, you know, and just look at my fingernail long enough and think about you. I could come in with all kinds of wonderful things, you know, but it doesn't really matter. But it's also the law of attraction. You'll be attracted to something that will reflect what's going on around you at any given time. You know, so there's a lot of science to it as well, but there's certainly spiritual things here. Our people are really excited. Any of you guys got a question here that you want to talk? Here's one of my mitts. This is Claudette Godin. She's one of my ministers in training.
Hi, Paul and Debbie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Great, thank you. Just a quick situation, and controversial, as I may say. It's in regards to mental health and where people feel that we are taking advantage of others due to mental health, et cetera. And it is where some people would have a real problem in doing the work that we're doing because of the controversy right there. And then you have this schizophrenic type thing. How do you tell the difference, you know, whether it is or isn't, et cetera. Now you even have programs on our television that are kind of downplaying the psychic, quote-unquote, type thing. So what are your views about this?
I'm really glad, there's a bit of feedback for me here, sorry. I'm really glad you asked that question because I have a theory on it.
Okay.
It's going to move out.
I know, okay. I had the same problem.
Yeah, it's put too often in the bathroom. My feeling on it is schizophrenia. I feel people who are schizophrenic are mediumistic. That's a big statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I also feel that I can say about this because my sister actually is schizophrenic. My sister's schizophrenic. I'm mediumistic. And I feel that people who are vulnerable when they're children and who have been through a lot in their life, I feel the mediumship can turn where I don't want to say about bad entities because I don't believe in them, but I feel mischievous ones would be talking to my sister because she's vulnerable, but with myself there, because I'm not so vulnerable, I'm actually using my mediumship in a positive way. So that's my feel on it. And I feel that at some point when you know, mediumship is recognized in the world as something that's very true and there, that people who are with schizophrenia will be helped better. I'm not a scaremonger, I don't do that. If I had to worry about that, I wouldn't do the job. I love it, and I know I don't need to protect myself when I do the job. So I'm not there. There's just a feeling there. I've always thought my sister is mediumistic, but very vulnerable too.
Yeah, just too wide open. Just not,
yes,
not able to discern the what's coming through.
Definitely. Yeah. And not being able to, you know, she's just on a, she's not as, how can I put it, as knowledgeable as me in what's happening to her.
Exactly.
Then that's
there is a good book, Deb. Have you ever read 30 Years Among the Dead?
No.
Well, that might be interesting for you to read, seeing of what's in your own family there. There's a doctor, there was a psychiatrist, his wife was a medium. And he wrote a book called 30 Years Among the Dead.
Oh,
and I believe you guys have it on your website from the SNU as one of the free downloads.
I will have a look at that, definitely.
Yeah, try reading that. That is a very interesting book if anybody wants to read it. Not saying that it's verbatim, but... But what he does relate in there is that his wife would go in with him when he'd go into the insane asylums, and sometimes somebody would feel like as if they're possessed or whatever. They feel like, you know, there was something going on, and a man thought he was a woman or whatever, and found out that when his wife worked with it, there was an energy moving in really close and mixing in. So
that's it.
You know.
Yeah, I can go with that, Barbara. Yeah. I mean, I feel, you know, people that are worried out there and this kind of thing about possession and all that, you know, unless you invite that in, it doesn't happen.
It's so rare.
You have to invite that in. Yeah. But to play with your thoughts and that when you're vulnerable, maybe so. But I would like to say to anybody listening, you know, mischievous people over the other side, they can't harm us. They've never been able to. You never see it in the news, you know, oh, ghost kills so and so, you know, it just doesn't happen. And unless you invite that in, they can't do anything. But I just feel it's just little thoughts there that people might, that mischievous people, this is the way I want to put it, from the other side would like to just implant for fun.
Yeah, they just like to see how gullible we are sometimes.
Exactly, exactly. And it's not, there's no physical harm that can happen to anybody. That's my belief. I can only speak from what I feel.
Yeah, and we just can go on what we believe to be true. You know, the only thing that I do watch, I don't know about you guys, but if I have a client come in or somebody come in for counseling, and I sense that maybe they need some medical training, you know, medical treatment instead, I would maybe, you know, suggest that they go to the doctor. In fact, I had one lady, I did suggest that I get a written letter from her doctor letting them know that I'm working with her because I was doing hypnotherapy, and I wouldn't do hypnotherapy on her without a written letter from her doctor because I felt that she was very edgy emotionally. You know, so you do have to discern what you're doing there, right?
Yeah, but in answer to your question, though, my love, I just like to say that I feel that there is schizophrenia and mediumship, mediumistic are you know, closely linked. Only that one is vulnerable and not really knowing what's happening, and the other one isn't. And I'm hoping that in the future, when this has been brought to light, then that we can help in a much more profound way the people that are suffering with schizophrenia.
Exactly. To make a little lighter note on, a lot of times people say, Amy, are you psychic? I say, I'm psychic, physic, or psychotic, something that starts with a P. But there's a very thin line sometimes between your imagination and your psychic, too, psyche. So a lot of times you have to really discern, don't you, about whether it's your own imagination, whether it's spirit. So you have to kind of discern what's going on, not just eat everything that comes through your mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to when you're going to come here. Now, we're doing a course here with you guys on Sunday afternoon, you're going to be doing 4 hours after we do our Sunday service, and we're going to have lunch. And then on Tuesday, you're going to do another three-hour session. And on the Wednesday, you're doing another three-hour session. So they got 10 hours for you to come in and tell us how keeping it simple instead of making it so complicated. Do you tell us a little bit about how people do make it so complicated?
Okay, well, firstly, it's the trust. Let's start with the trust then. The trust with an individual and their own awareness. And I use this story quite a bit. When I have no doubt that every single person in your room there today, Barbara, has a story. Has a story of, yes, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and yes, I know I saw that person from spirit. Or I was walking home from work, and yes, I saw that person from spirit. Everybody has a story. Do you agree there?
Oh, definitely. Oh,
yes. Yeah.
I mean, but the strangest thing is, and this I do find strange, that if you was to pick up, let's say, John Edwards' book, and in there you would read his story in a sense that it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and at the bottom of my bed, so and so was standing there. My great auntie's mother's cousin was standing there from spirit, and you would read that story and you would think, wow, that was fantastic. But yet, you will put your own experience down. What you have saw in your life, you feel isn't as profound as John Edwards, because you haven't read your experience in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I find very confusing as to why it is people feel that their awareness then or their mediumship isn't as profound as what they might read in a book. And this is something that we'll be bringing into the workshop. Confidence is very much needed. And our plan is when we come there, yes, to simplify it in such a way that your everyday thoughts that you get are everyday thoughts you get from spirit.
Also, I'd like to say that people complicate it in a way of, you know, the information comes through, and because it's not actually making sense, we all fall into the habit of having to make sense of what we're getting to give, when really it doesn't really have to make sense for us. It's for the other person. Also there, you know, people don't realize that spirit will use everything to make it more simple. So they will use your life experience. They will use your stepfather as an example of the stepfather you now have in the spirit world. And you'll think, well, this guy is sounding a lot like my stepfather. Well, that's right, because he would be drawn to you because he knows that you would know about him. So he would come to you in order to say, to get there. I mean, I'm a true believer in the spirit. They choose their medium they want to come through because they say, well, you know, Deb has got that experience and she would know about my character, so I'm going to go through her there.
Exactly.
That's my feeling on it. So if something is sounding very familiar to you, don't think, oh, it's too obvious.
Yeah.
That's the way that people, you know, it's a very common way of complicating it then.
I often say that, you know, the thing is that it may not be the same experience, but you go through an experience, for instance, that maybe a fear of losing a job, you know. Because you were fearful of losing a job one time. And so when the person sits there, all of a sudden a remembrance of that mm-hmm. will come into your mind. And you could just as easy ignore that. But I find that sometimes when it brings some memory of what I've gone through, it's relating to them.
Yeah.
And that is the way you get the reading sometimes.
Yeah.
And the reason is why, while you're you're stood up giving a demonstration, would you have that thought? Because some people think, well, is it just me?
Yeah.
Why would you be thinking of a thought of way back when you were scared of losing a job right at that second? Because they're bringing that memory up for you.
Exactly. So yeah, on a one-to-one basis, right?
Yeah.
Are you there,
yeah.
Don? Oh, I thought Don was trying to get us, maybe.
Okay.
We're almost getting ready to sign off, so I'm just keeping an eye on him coming in here. But we've had a great time, eh?
Yeah. It's been wonderful talking to you there and the gang that's there with you, Barbara,
yeah,
that's
sure.
for sure.
And we're looking forward to you getting back online in June with us now.
Yeah.
That's a big congregation here.
I mean, those who come to the workshop in Canada, just be assured that they'll be coming to work their socks off. Because we have 10 hours worth of fairly busy schedule, and there'll be homework there also, Deb, won't there?
Yes.
So, they'll have homework also, so it won't be just, okay, I'm going home, I'll see you tomorrow. So it'll be a good time. It'll be a good time. It'll be fun. It'll be relaxed, but it'll be very educational for everybody anyway.
Well, I think it's going to be good that it's broken up into that segments, because you can give them homework and they can kind of work with that and
yeah.
then come back on the Tuesday and then again on the Wednesday and have
yeah.
worked with that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of having it all in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
You know,
and also then after the workshop has finished there, what we're hoping is that they will leave then with exercises and experiences that they can carry on using to maintain and keep growing their development.
Exactly. Have you guys got your new web page up and running yet?
No.
Okay, get at it. And if you can't, I've got a grandson who's a webmaster, so you can get a hold of him maybe and we can help you. But
we need you up and running
so that we can go. But they can get a hold of my website, www.innergarden.com.
Yeah.
And we can let anybody that's anywhere in the world that's listening tonight know about what's going on with you guys in the meantime till you get up and running.
Yeah.
And it's easy to find who you are. That is Paul and Deb Reese, R-E-E-S.com. Correct?
Paul and Deborah.
Deborah, yeah.
Oh, Deborah. I'm sorry. Yes, Deborah, I'm shortening you up, Deb. Because we call you Debs, right?
Yes, and I prefer that.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to have the bigger title when you're... So now we're getting close to 4 o'clock in the morning where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll be seeing the sun come up.
Well, yes, I'm thinking of having a cup of coffee and staying up now, Barbara.
Well, you might as well. Are the kids coming over?
No, not today, because we've got...
Well, I think you'll be sleeping by about 4 o'clock this afternoon anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
We're working later, though, Deb, and we so there's no peace for the wicked, as they say there, Barbara. That's for sure.
I know Don usually tries to get us off the air somewhere close to the 5 minute two, but we can keep talking for a little bit if he wants to. We'll say thank you to all the people that have been listening in.
Yes.
And we thank you guys for coming online and talking to us. We're just having a blast over here. We had a nice after church luncheon / dinner / tea that we're going to chat about afterwards this year. Wish we could send you some homemade cakes or something, but
nice.
Yeah. So Where you guys take care.
Yeah, and you, Barbara. I mean, thank you all for being there. Thank you all for listening, and we do send our love to everybody. And keep working with your awareness. Do trust it. Do believe in yourselves. Don't let others put you down with it. Keep strong. That's what we say. But always, always keep it simple.
There. Keep it simple. That's the KISS method, right?
Yeah.
We won't put the second F. Well, we're still keep it simple, smarty. Okay. Sweetheart. Oh, that's even better.
That's nice, though.
Oh, my mitts here are so smart. Sweetheart, they said. Keep it simple, sweetheart. There you go. That's lovely. Yeah, so that. Okay, everybody clap. Say thanks for the show. Yay. Talk to you again soon, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Angel's with you. Bye-bye.
Bye.